Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 24. This is God's Word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. This is how that happened. This is not the only time that this happened. But Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. They're ripe. Now pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Okay? And then he said to them, go, I'm sending you. This is a pattern with God. He sensitizes his people to the need, and he tells us, you need to pray about that. You need to pray that God will raise up people to do something about that need. And if we pray, very often the answer to our prayers is that God sends us. That's the origin of this ministry. When I was a teenager and I became horrified at the need in my own community there in North Carolina, that there were lots of kids who needed to be somewhere other than where they were at home. They needed a place of safety. They needed a place of healing. When I found out that the need was far greater than the provision, I was brokenhearted. And I began to pray fervently as I cried out to God and said, God, please, you've got to do something for these kids. What God impressed on my heart is, I will do something, but I want to use you. And that was where the story of two boys, for those of you who've read the brochure or read it in the book, Place to Call Home, that my wife wrote, that's where that came from. First, God shows you the need, and we say, God, do something. And God says, I will. Here's what I want you to do. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's what happened here. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. The harvest field belongs to God. This is my Father's world. We look at all kinds of messes around the globe and we say, oh, God, this is just a terrible thing. And God says, I know. I want you to do something. Now, we're not all called to do the same thing, but we are all called to obey and to ask God what he would have us do.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So he said, go, I'm sending you. Like lambs among wolves. Does that seem like a good plan? If there's a need out there and there are wolves out there, don't you think we need to send something other than lambs? What's his point? He goes on to say, do not take a purse or bag or sandals and don't greet anyone on the road. I'm sending you on mission and you are to be utterly dependent upon me. Their strategy when they go into a town, they're to be targeted in where they're going, not get sidetracked along the way. They're on a mission, and when they get there, they are supposed to rely on the hospitality of strangers. That's putting yourself in a vulnerable and humble position. But Jesus says, that's what I want you to do. You're to eat whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. That's your wages. You're working for room and board. What are we doing? Mowing the yard? No, you are bringing them the kingdom of God. You mean we're going to talk to them? Yes, but not just talk to them. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like. And that's what Jesus gave them the authority to do. Why could they do this? They came back so excited. Even the demons obey us in your name. When they acted on the basis of Jesus' authority, they could make it happen because he was making it happen. He had sent them, and he gave them authority to do these things. You and I need to remember that today. When we are acting in obedience to God, when we're doing what he says we're to do, then we don't have to worry about opposition. We don't have to worry about acceptance. We simply need to focus on obedience. So, Jesus told them, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. Now, we've said before, because over and over and over, in this gospel and the others and in the epistles and in the book of Acts, the teaching is about the kingdom of God. If you're going to know Jesus, you need to know him as your Lord, as your King, as your ruler, as your master, as your owner. He's the boss. He's not just somebody who forgives our sins or who paid the debt so that our sins could be forgiven. That is true. That is vital. Because apart from his perfect sacrifice, we can't be reconciled to the King. Jesus did what he did, however, not so that we could simply be forgiven and keep on our merry way to hell. Jesus provided reconciliation to God so that we could be in right relationship with God, who is the creator and ruler of the universe. And so over and over, the emphasis is on the kingdom. The kingdom. And what they did in healing people and casting out demons, all of that was a demonstration of what it looks like when everything is submitted to his lordship. So, you're to tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and you're not welcomed, don't tell them about the kingdom. No. Tell them about the kingdom too. And say to them, we're wiping the dirt off of our feet as we leave, but you need to know this. The kingdom of God is near. You see, God's kingdom is in operation whether people want to submit or not. If you say, oh, I don't want him to be my Lord, well, he's still Lord. You're just behaving like a fool. Jesus isn't Lord if you like it. He isn't Lord if enough people get on board. Jesus Christ is Lord. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to be way too late for a whole lot of folks, but they're still going to have to acknowledge the truth. If I don't believe in gravity, do I float? What if I really sincerely refuse to believe that gravity is real? Will I just begin floating up toward the ceiling? Is that the way the universe operates? No. As more than one person has said in recent years, truth doesn't care about your feelings. Well, I care about my feelings. Well, fine, you're entitled to care about your feelings, but don't expect reality to change based on your feelings. So, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he says, you tell them, if they don't accept you as you're leaving town, tell them, be sure of this. the kingdom of God is near. And then he says, I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Anybody remember the story of Sodom? They got wiped out, absolutely destroyed. God rained down fire from heaven and incinerated the town of Sodom and the town of Gomorrah. Wow, real judgment, huh? That'd be terrible. Jesus says, it's going to be a lot worse for those who saw the miracles that Jesus provided. Sodom didn't get that. The miracle Sodom got to see was their own incineration, their own destruction. But those who saw the miracles and rejected the Lord, those who heard his teaching and said, no, I want no part of that, those who had the opportunity that these folks had and said, no, they're going to face something much worse than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus labors this point. Look at it. It'll be more bearable on that day, what day? The judgment, than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, places that had seen God's judgment poured out, they would have repented long ago and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more bearable, however, for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you'll go down to the depths. Wow. So there's something worse than getting incinerated? Yes. It's what those folks will face when they have to stand before God. Jesus tells a story in which he says there's a man who went off to a distant place and was a long time in returning. And while he was gone, his servants started doing all kinds of bad things. And when he returned, all of them were punished. But those whom he'd left in charge, those who had the most information, they will be most severely punished. Those who did not, I mean, they knew what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't know it as much as the ones who were in charge. Those folks who were in charge are going to be more severely punished than the folks who were further down the line. So does everybody experience the same reward in heaven? No. Does everybody experience the same kind of punishment in hell? No. God is just. But let me tell you, the best place in hell is going to be horrible. I don't really like the idea of eternal punishment. Well, then don't go there. Okay? Jesus dies and rises again and offers eternal life to all who trust in him. But if you say, no, I don't want to do that, because then he'd be the boss. He is the boss. Well, I don't want somebody else to be telling me what to do. You're either a slave to the forces of darkness, or you are the bond slave of Jesus Christ. I want to be my own boss. I don't want to. That makes you a slave of the forces of darkness. You are following the enemy to your destruction. That was what got him kicked out of heaven. So, Jesus says, he who listens to you listens to me. You see, they saw the disciples and didn't realize, many of them, that because Jesus had commissioned them and sent them, their response to those disciples was their response to Jesus. Someone I know well got a phone call from an overseas operator inviting him to be on a podcast. Well, it was a podcast of a prominent podcaster. And the person who got the call thought, this is a joke. Okay? Because, I mean, the person who was calling, clearly you could just tell, was not an American. And the podcaster is an American. And so it was like, okay, this is somebody pranking me. I don't know who it is. Don't know what it's about. But he did not respond well to that phone call. And then he got a text. And the text made it clear that actually that was an invitation to be on the podcast and that they really wanted him to be on. And so he quickly recontacted and said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was you when you called. What happened? If you reject the messenger, you're going to miss out on the invitation. Well, mercifully in this case, they really wanted him, so they got him on the show. But I want you to understand that how you respond to the Word of God, even when it's preached by somebody like me, some of you seem to like, and some of you I'm sure find painful to have to listen to. I mean, you know, the guy is so old, and he uses hokey illustrations and words like hokey. You need to understand, the only reason I'm here is to proclaim God's word to you, and that's why I pray, Lord, give us ears to hear your voice. I want you to know it's not about me. It's about what he says. His word is truth. His word brings life. So, Jesus says, whoever listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. You cannot reject Jesus Christ and love God. You can't. Let me say that again, because you need to be sure and understand that. If somebody loves God, but they're just really, Jesus is just not for them. They don't love God. They've got their own idol. They've got a God that they constructed in their own imagination, but it's not the God of the Bible. And then occasionally, I run across people who really think Jesus is great, but the God of the Old Testament, no, I don't like him at all. Well, then you don't know the Jesus of the New Testament. Because the Jesus of the New Testament directs us to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures that he's talking about are the Old Testament Scriptures. The whole book is God's Word. Now, Jesus says, if they reject me, they reject him who sent me. And so the disciples return with joy and they say, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You see, Jesus was around, the Son of God was around when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. Way back then. Remember what Jesus said when they were talking about, are you saying that you're greater than Abraham? He says, before Abraham was, I am. Taking the name of God and applying it to himself, how could he do that? Isn't that blasphemy? Well, it would be if he weren't God. But Jesus is not only perfect man, he is fully God. And so Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I have given you authority to trample on snakes or scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So does that mean these guys are not going to be able to get sick or die or be martyred as so many were? No, he's saying even death can't harm you. The power of the enemy cannot harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Here's the main point today. The greatest joy is to know that your name is written in heaven. The greatest joy. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, that's all good. But almost all that stuff is temporary. This life is short, and it's temporary. I don't know how I'm going to die or when I'm going to die, but I know that unless Jesus comes soon, I'm going to die. Oh, Pastor Wood, I think you may have another 10 years. I may have another 30 years. My mom died at 99 and I'm 70. Okay, do the math. I may have another 30 years. I'm not hoping so. But what I know is this. If God gave me another 50 years and I lived to 120, I'm still going to die unless Jesus comes back first. This stuff's all temporary. Our health is temporary. My daughter shared with me just this morning, don't feed kids Rice Krispies. This person says they ate them when they were young, and now every time they get up, it's snap, crackle, pop. Corny jokes. That's what I mean by hokey. But I want you to understand. I want you to understand. Jesus says the one thing that really matters is where you're going to be for eternity. What is your relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. How does a person come to know the Lord? God opens the blind eyes so that we see what we didn't see before. Jesus said in John 3, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Jesus said, in fact, in order to perceive the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit. Who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that. Who do you say? Peter said, you are the Christ, Son of the Most High God. Jesus said, you are blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's what he's talking about here. God reveals the truth to little children. I've seen PhDs get saved, and I've seen PhDs who just couldn't get it. And I've seen little kids who had no idea what the grown-ups were talking about. And I've seen little kids and kids with Down syndrome and people with all kinds of disadvantages who had their eyes opened by God and they saw the truth and they put their trust in Jesus. Has that happened for you? Have you come to the point of realizing your only hope is in Him? All things have been committed to be my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. You see, God had done a work. And they were seeing the truth and they were recognizing more and more who the King is. They still hadn't accepted the fact that he was going to die on the cross for them. But he says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it. And to hear what you hear but did not hear it. You may say, well, I wish I could have lived back then. In Jesus' day. I wish I could have seen the miracles and experienced those kinds of things. Well, I remind you, as I said earlier, most of those who were following in that day, not only suffered greatly, but many of them suffered a martyr's death. Is that really what you want? Well, no, I'd just like to be able to see the stuff and then kind of do what I want to do. Well, then you need to repent. Because we are so blessed. We are so blessed to have God's word in our own language, to live in a place where we are not persecuted for simply wanting to come together and worship God. To be able to follow the leading of the Lord without an oppressive church structure that says, today is Ash Wednesday, and therefore this is what you do. Pastor Wood, are you saying it's wrong to celebrate Ash Wednesday? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, you and I should be able to worship the Lord as His Spirit guides us through His Word. And if you follow the church calendar, that's great. But you should do it joyfully and freely because you find it meaningful, not because somebody tells you, this is what you do today, and this is what we say today, and this is what we sing today, and this is what you're to think today. Well, Pastor, you tell us what we're supposed to think. Actually, I read it, not from some other book. I tell you, read this yourself. Believe what he says and do what he says. Having that freedom is historically extraordinary and a gift for which we should all be giving thanks.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.